Good afternoon. This is Archdeacon Steve West, the parish priest of St. Barnabas Parish in the Anglican Church in the Diocese of Trinidad and Tobago. I welcome you to reflection on this first Sunday after Pentecost, Trinity Sunday, Year B. Our readings today come from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 to 8, Psalm 29, Romans 8, verses 12 to 17, and the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 1 to 17. Let us pray. The Lord is here, and we will praise Him. The Lord is here, and we will worship Him. The Lord is here, and we will trust Him. The Lord is here, and we will honor Him. The Lord is here, and He has called us to give Him all the glory. Amen. Lord, we praise You for creating, healing, and loving us. We thank You for seeking and finding us, for holding us and renewing our lives. We honor You for all You have done for us, in us, and through us. But we adore You for who You are, the one, true, living God. Amen. Lord, we feel like the disciples when You walked with them on the road to Emmaus, and they did not recognize Your presence. You came to them on the seashore, where their work was fruitless, and they felt they have failed. You had spoken to them about Your death and resurrection, but they hadn't understood. They hid behind locked doors because they hadn't received Your power. Lord, by Your Spirit, speak the word we need to hear and open our lives to receive it. May our worship, witness, and service reflect the love of God the Father, the grace of God the Son, and the power of God the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have the hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy.
Oh,
And we pray the collect for Trinity Sunday, followed by our parish prayer. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you have given to us, your servants, grace by the confession of a true faith to acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity and, in the power of your divine majesty, to worship the unity. Keep us steadfast in this faith and worship, and bring us at last to see you in your one and eternal glory, O Father, who with the Son and the Holy Spirit live and reign, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Our parish prayer. Gracious God, you sent your only Son, Jesus, to be for us an example of godly living. Empower us by your Holy Spirit to treasure your creation, that we may be his faithful disciples in our time and place, making disciples of all nations, sharing his words with all who need to hear them, and helping our brothers and sisters to experience life in all its fullness, all to your honor and glory, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our reflection today is entitled, The Flesh and the Spirit. The Flesh and the Spirit. In the Gospel of John, Jesus has conversations with many unnamed persons. For example, a Samaritan woman, a woman caught in adultery, and a blind man. However, in today's Gospel from John chapter 3, verses 1 to 17, Jesus has a conversation with a Pharisee named Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a member of the Sanhedrin, the Jewish High Council, and he came to Jesus by night. Nicodemus was seeking knowledge and understanding without publicity or recognition. As he acknowledged Jesus and his ability as a teacher, Jesus responds with a statement which puzzles Nicodemus, but leads Jesus to teach a very important and essential principle for those who would be his disciples. Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born from above." Or as some translations of the Bible state, without being born anew. Birth is the process of the beginning of life. Therefore, Jesus is stating that in order to see the kingdom of God, there must be a rebirth. Another point at which there is a beginning of a new direction in life. Nicodemus, not understanding that Jesus was talking about a spiritual rebirth, responds, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Physical rebirth is impossible and impractical. However, Jesus was saying that a spiritual rebirth is needed in order to see the kingdom of God. Jesus goes on to explain, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit." Verse 5. The combination of water and the Spirit is found in the words of God to Israel through the prophet Ezekiel. When God desired to restore Israel from exile, God gave the prophet these words for God's people. God said, "I will take you from the nations and gather you from all countries and bring you into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleannesses and from all your idols. I will cleanse you. A new heart I will give you, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove from your body the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you. Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 24 to 27a. In order to be restored as the people of God, the children of Israel had to be cleansed from their sins and needed to have a new heart and a new spirit, a radical transformation, a rebirth with water for cleansing and the Spirit of God to direct their lives. Jesus goes on to make a distinction between the two states of human existence. He says in verse 6, "What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit." There is an important, significant difference between born of the flesh and living one's life in the flesh and being reborn by the Spirit, that is, the Spirit of God. Today we celebrate Trinity Sunday, when the Church invites us to reflect on the nature of God, a divine mystery. When we say the Apostles' Creed, we affirm, "I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. I believe in the Holy Spirit." In the Nicene Creed, we affirm, "We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father." In the Athanasian Creed, which is not in our prayer book, it states, "The Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. And yet they are not three gods, but one God." We therefore have a belief in a triune God. Scripture tells us that we human beings are made in the image of God. That suggests that we too have a triune nature, expressed as body, mind, and spirit. The body, the outward physical expression of who we are. The mind, the emotional and intellectual part of our being. And the spirit, the essence of who we are. The part of us that remains when the body and mind have ceased to function at death. The spirit, the part of us that yearns for relationship with God who is spirit. We can consider our spirit as the spirit of the flesh, our earthly, physical being, subject to the desires of the flesh and the evil of the world. If we allow ourselves to live by our natural spirit of the flesh, we will say, as Paul says, "Always seek to gratify the desires of the flesh." But in order to see God's kingdom, we have to rise above the desires of the flesh. be cleansed by the water of baptism at any age and receive the gift of God's Holy Spirit. At baptism, we are reborn by water and the Spirit. Just as a physical newborn has to be nurtured and enabled to learn about oneself and the environment, so too in the realm of the Spirit. A newborn in the Spirit has to be nurtured and enabled to learn about the presence and the power of God's Holy Spirit. For in order to see the kingdom of God, the Holy Spirit has to direct and control our spirit of the flesh. St. Paul, in his letter to the Galatians, chapter 5, verses 16 and 17, exhorts us to live by the Spirit and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh, for these are opposed to each other. If we do not receive God's Holy Spirit, which God chooses to give to whoever God wishes, we will be controlled by the spirit of the flesh, that is, our base human nature, a nature that is controlled and broken by disobedience to God and the evil of the world. St. Paul affirms, the works of the flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. Verses 19 to 21. The list seems endless and includes all the activities that bring out the worst side of human nature. If we allow ourselves to be controlled by the desires of the flesh, we will exist in an environment of hostility, dishonesty, discord, perpetual tumult, and unhappiness. Paul contrasts the state that will exist if we are governed and controlled by the Spirit of God. That is, if we are reborn by water and the Spirit and allow the Spirit to direct our lives. Paul says, by contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, generosity, faithfulness, kindness, and self-control. There is even a difference as we speak the words, a difference in tone and a sense of quiet and peace. Affirming Jesus' admonition to be born anew by water and the Spirit, Paul points to the benefit of living by the Spirit of God. Paul writes in Galatians chapter 5, verses 24 and 25, those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Jesus offers us an opportunity to become transformed from people controlled and directed by the spirit of the flesh or base human nature. To be controlled and directed by the Spirit of God, a God who is love. The same Spirit which Jesus possessed during his earthly ministry, and which enabled him to successfully complete the Father's task of redemption of humankind. Jesus compares the Holy Spirit to the wind. It is invisible, mysterious, and beyond our control, but it is discernible by its effects. Let us, in faith, believe that at baptism we were cleansed and received the gift of God's Holy Spirit, which is invisible, mysterious, and beyond our control, but whose effects on our lives are discernible. By the Holy Spirit, we can live by the principles and precepts that Jesus taught. By the Holy Spirit, we can be in Christ, and as Paul affirms, become a new creation, as the old has passed away and everything has become new. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Our gospel reminds us that God, the Creator, loves us and expressed that love by sending God's Son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God continues to express God's love for humankind by giving us the gift of God's Spirit to enable us to become a part of God's kingdom. God offers us new life, a rebirth that God has given us. God's Holy Spirit to enable, empower, and transform us, to enable us to see and experience the kingdom of God. The Spirit will remain invisible, mysterious, and beyond our control. But if we believe, if we submit to its guidance and direction, its effect on our lives will be discernible. We will be true, intentional disciples of Christ, empowered by the gifts of the Holy Spirit for the work of ministry. Our lives will have direction, purpose, and relevance. We will experience life in all its fullness. Amen. Let us pray. God the Father, God beyond us, we adore you. You are the depth of all that is. You are the ground of our being. We can never grasp you, yet you grasp us. The universe speaks of you to us, and your love comes to us through Jesus. God the Son, God beside us, we adore you. You are the perfection of humanity. You have shown us that what human life should be like. In you, we see divine love and human greatness combined. God the Spirit, God around us, we adore you. You draw us to Jesus and the Father. You are power within us. You give us abundant life and can make us the men and women we are meant to be. Father, Son, and Spirit, God beyond, beside, and around us, we adore you. O God, the source of all being and the goal of all our longing, we believe and trust in you. The whole earth is alive with your glory, and all that has life is sustained by you. We commit ourselves to cherish your world and to seek your face. O God, embodied in a human life, we believe and trust in you. Jesus, our brother, born of the woman Mary, you confronted the proud and the powerful and welcomed as your friends those of no account. Holy wisdom of God, firstborn of creation, you emptied yourself of power and became foolish for our sake. You labored with us upon the cross and have brought us forth to the hope of resurrection. We commit ourselves to struggle against evil and to choose life. O God, life-giving Spirit, Spirit of healing and comfort, of integrity and truth, we believe and trust in you. Warm wind Spirit, brooding over creation, rushing wind and Pentecostal fire, we commit ourselves to work with you and to renew our world. Amen. And as our Savior Christ had commanded and taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen. We have the hymn, How Great is Our God. Yeah. Let us pray. Teach us, good Lord, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to ask for any reward save that of knowing we do your will. And in that service, may God the Holy Trinity make you strong in faith and love, defend you on every side, and guide you in truth and peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. And we pray that you will continue to follow the regulations, and we hope that you will take part in the Corpus Christi activities, and please be safe.
Don't worry.